you so very, very much, and thank y'all once again for letting me be here this week and share with you. It's been such a blessing, and thank you to some Fairview folks that skipped church tonight and have come out here. We're glad to have you anyway, and if I have to write Brother Sammy a note excusing you, I will. Be turning in your Bibles, if you will, the book of 1 Kings over in the Old Testament. Go through Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and just keep going to the right, and you'll find 1 Kings before you get too very far. And that's what we're going to be looking at tonight, 1 Kings chapter 1. Been trying to deal with things that I believe the Lord would have us look at this week. We had looked at Sunday morning just about salvation, being redeemed. Jesus knocks at the door, waits for us to open the door. It's promised that whoever opens the door, he'll come in and he'll live with them and fellowship with them. Then Sunday night, we looked at being right with God, recognizing the problem, removing the wrong things, renewing our heart. Just being right with God. Monday night, we looked at reaching out, and we learned that friends, say it with me, friends don't let friends die lost. Well, tonight, and then last night, we looked at being released, being set free, not having to carry around in our life false guilt for sins that we have confessed to God, that when we confess them, He will forgive us, He will cleanse us. And we saw last night five things that God does with the sin that we confess in our life. And so nobody has to go around carrying this fear and this load of guilt in their life. Well, tonight we're going to close out by looking at who rules in our life, just letting Jesus Christ rule as Lord. 1 Kings chapter 1, beginning with verse 16. And Bathsheba bowed down and did homage to the king and said to the king, and the king said, "What is your wish?" And she said to him, "My lord, you swore by the Lord your God to your maidservant, saying, 'Assuredly, Solomon your son shall reign after me, and he shall sit on my throne.' So now look, Adonijah has become king, and now, my lord the king, you don't even know about him. He sacrificed oxen and fattened cattle and sheep in abundance and invited the sons of the king, Abathar the priest, Joab the commander of the army, but Solomon your servant, he's not invited. And as for you, O king, the eyes of all Israel are on you, that you should tell them who will sit on the throne of my lord the king after him." So that's what we're going to look at tonight. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we do pray that tonight you will take again the words off of this page, make them to come alive in our heart, that, Father, we might understand the importance of letting Jesus Christ rule in our hearts. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. When I was growing up over in the northeast corner of Alabama, we had a lady in our church. Now, you probably never run across one of these, but she was a hypochondriac. She loved being sick. Have you ever been around somebody like that? And you dare not ask her what's wrong because she'd tell you. And if she didn't have something wrong, she'd make up something. My mother would call her up and ask her, "Joel, how are you doing?" And she'd say, "Terrible." Mama say, "That's good. What's wrong?" Because she's one of those that when she's doing bad, she was doing good. For instance, mother called her one time, said, "How are you doing?" She said, "Terrible." Mother said, "That's good. What's wrong?" She said, "My kidneys have dropped." Mother said, your kidneys have dropped. Said, where are they? She said, oh, they're down at my ankles and I can't get my pantyhose on. Mother called her one time, said, how are you doing? She said, terrible. Mama said, that's good. What's wrong? She said, it's my heart. Said, what's wrong? Said, it's hitting a hard lick on the top, hitting a soft lick on the bottom, spinning my blood, and I've been dizzy all day. I was in church, Brother Robert, when we had quit having prayer requests. Was in church, and the pastor said, anybody got a prayer request? And she raised her hand, and they said, yes, Jewel. She said, I'd like for y'all to pray for me. I have prostate trouble. I caught it from my husband. True story. And some of the women talked to her after church. She said, I don't care, said, I've still got it. Now, here was a woman that claimed she had physical problems when she really just was a nutcase. When she was in the nursing home, she lived to be 94. So, see, she was sick. She eventually died at 94. She was in the nursing home, and the nurse said to her, said, how are you doing? She said, terrible. Nurse said, what's wrong? She said, I've got osteoporosis. We said, oh, no, not only will she be bent over, but she'll bite you with osteoporosis. But now then, in our text, there's something wrong, really wrong. And it may be tonight that somebody's going to come to the realization that there's something wrong in your life. It's not physical. But somebody may come to the realization that there is something spiritually wrong in your life. And I am convinced that one of the great problems that believers have is the issue of lordship, who or what is going to rule in their lives. And that's what we're going to look at. Going to take this text and just look at it and let it speak to us. Several things that we're going to see from it. It's the story of King David. He's old now. You know, he was the young guy that killed the giant with a rock. But now he's old. He's king, but he has declared that when he dies, his son is going to rule. He will sit on the throne of Israel. First thing that I want us to look at here is the commitment that was made. The commitment that was made. And we find it in verse 17. Bathsheba said to him, my Lord, you swore by the Lord your God to your maidservant, saying, Solomon your son shall reign after me, and he shall sit on my throne. Have you ever made a commitment and you didn't carry through with it? When you make a commitment, you need to carry through with it. I was in your baptistry over here, reminded me of a baptism that I had in Moulton. We had a lady that came, and she was a little bit strange, but most of the folks was. And because they wanted me to be their pastor, there had to be something wrong with them. And so, that's for the Fairview folks. And so, anyway, she came, and y'all, she went by the name of Redbone. I mean, that's what she called herself. Now, when you're nicknamed after a hound dog, something's wrong, you know? And so anyhow, Redbone got saved, and I was going to baptize her. And when we baptized, we would close the curtain. They would come in, we'd baptize them, and then they'd close the curtain, and we'd go out. Well, Redbone had gotten saved, and so we were going to baptize her, and we started going in the water, and she said, Brother Mickey, said, I'm scared of water. She said, I'm liable to get in that water and have a fit. And I said, now listen, Redbone, if you get in there and pitch a fit, I'm going to take my belt off. And it took a whole cow to make this belt. And I'm going to take my belt off and just whip your little legs real good so you behave. And she said, well, I'll try. I had a little deacon, a little short, fat deacon that called everybody darling. His name was Bill, and he was my curtain puller. And I told him, I said, Bill, Redbone said she's liable to get in there and get scared and have a fit. And he said, well, if she does, I'll hop in there and help you wrestle her under, darling. I said, all right. And so we got in to baptize her, and I was going well, and I had showed her how to hold on to my hands, you know. And I'd have my hand at the back of her neck, and I'd come up, and so I said, now you be sure and hold on. And I said, what you say, and got ready to baptize her. Just I started to take her under. But I'm committed to baptize her. I'm committed to baptize her. And y'all, just as I started to take her under, she just let go with both arms, just like that. And I had her by the nape of the neck. And I didn't have nothing to grab on to. But I had made a commitment to baptize her. And I thought, I've got to stabilize her. And I brought this hand over and put it around her neck and triggered something, and her mouth flew wide open. I took her under with her mouth open. I brought her up. She's squirting water like a lawn sprinkler from Walmart. And Bill pulled the curtain, and he said with a real loud voice, and the whole congregation heard him, said, you choked that under, didn't you, darling? But I had made a commitment. And when you make a commitment, you ought to follow through with it. Now here in our text, Bathsheba comes to King David and says to him, said, David, you made a commitment in your life. And David, here is what you committed to. David, you said that Solomon is going to sit on the throne of Israel. Solomon is going to rule and reign. He is going to sit on the throne. Now, the throne is where the kings would sit. It was there that the decisions were made. It is there. It was the control center of their government. Do you realize that every life has a throne? Every life has a control center. You can call it your heart. You can call it your will. You can call it whatever you want to. But every person has a control center in your life. And it is the place where the rule is done, where the decisions are made. And I can tell you that in every life, someone or something is calling the shots. Now, when we talk Sunday about inviting Jesus into your life, let me tell you what happens. When Jesus comes into your life, He comes into your life as Savior, and He comes in as Lord. Boss is what it means. Ruler is what it means. And when Jesus comes into the heart, He comes in. You're to get off the throne, and Jesus is to be seated on the throne, on the control center of your life, and He is the one that is to be calling the shots. When Jesus is Lord, He is to rule and to reign. And if you've made a commitment in your life to Jesus, if you're saved, then you've made a commitment that the one who is to be the boss, to be the ruler of your life, is none other than Jesus Christ. He's the one that is to be sitting on the throne of your heart. And David had made a commitment. He said, Solomon is going to rule in Israel. Let me ask you, have you made a commitment in your life, invited Jesus in to be Lord of your life? Second thing, not only the commitment that was made, Second thing I want us to see is the conflict that arose. The conflict that arose, look if you will, at verse 18. Bathsheba's talking to David. She said, David, there's a conflict, there's a problem. Here it is, verse 18. Said, now look, Adonijah has become king, and now my lord the king, you don't know about it. You don't even know about it. What she says is, David, somebody else is sitting on the throne where Solomon is supposed to be sitting. And his name is Adonijah. Now, there is a law in physics that I learned when I was in elementary school. And I didn't have physics in elementary school. I found out later this law of physics. Law of physics says that two pieces of matter cannot occupy the same space at the same time. Have you ever heard of that? Two pieces of matter cannot occupy same. Now let me tell you how I learned that law. I mentioned the Sandy Theater at Geraldine where we saw the movie The Blob. Well, I had gone to a Saturday matinee to see some kind of Western shoot 'em up. It was a bright, sunny day like today. And I'd gone in and got my seat. I was just a small kid. And I got my seat. And there was this pretty good-sized woman came in. And she came from the bright sunshine into the theater. And so her eyes hadn't adjusted yet. And she came over to my seat and didn't see me. And she sat down. And that's where I learned that law of physics. Two things cannot occupy the same space at the same time. Now here, in this passage of Scripture, you've got a man named Adonijah, who is the fourth son of David, who has decided he is going to sit on the throne and he is going to be king. You see, there's an age-old conflict that's going on. And the age-old conflict that's happening is who is going to rule and who is going to reign. That's an age-old question. It's an age-old question in politics. It's an age-old question in marriages. It's an age-old question for individuals. Who is going to rule and who is going to reign? And there was a conflict because here's one says, I'm going to be king when Solomon was supposed to be king. Listen, there is always, always conflict in the Christian life. Always conflict about who is going to sit on the throne of our heart. There's always a conflict between self. And if we don't watch it, self wants to push Jesus to the side and be seated on the throne and call the shots in our life. If we don't watch it, sin wants to push him over. And sin wants to sit on the throne and to rule and reign in our life. If we don't watch it, stuff will want to push him over. And there'll be stuff that becomes more important and controls our life. And so there are all kinds of things that can battle for control in our life. And if we are not careful, something or someone will sit where only Jesus is to sit. If we aren't careful, there'll be something controlling our life besides the Lord Jesus Christ. Now listen, when you're saved, He comes into your life to live. But let me ask you this. Is He seated tonight on the throne of your heart as Lord? Or does He just reside in you, but you're not letting Him rule over you? And so we see here the conflict that arose. Third thing that we're going to look at, and that's the question that arose. The question that arose, look again at verse 18. She says, look, Adonijah's become king, and you don't even know about it. She says, David, what's happening here? You don't even understand what's happening here. I was preaching revival as a very young preacher, about the second revival I'd ever preached. First Baptist, Decatur, Alabama, is a church that ran about 700 or 800 in Sunday school. And it's the most amazing thing. It was supposed to go Sunday through Wednesday, and God got in that meeting, and it went for a week and a half. 107 people saved. But on Thursday night was children's night, and children's choirs had sung and all this kind of stuff, and I had preached. And y'all, we had a lady in that church. If one person ever came forward, she was the second one. Every time. And she always came with crazy stuff. I have attracted crazy people. And she always came. Like one night she came and she said, Brother Mickey, I didn't think that church bus was going to come get me tonight. And I just always say, Flossie, why don't you pray about it? And she'd get down and pray, and I'd deal with other people. We didn't have a church bus. Okay? So on this particular night, somebody had come, and here came Flossie. And she came down, and she came up to me, and she said, Brother Mickey, do you think there's people living on the backside of the moon? And I said, I don't know, Flossie. Won't you pray about it? So she got down and prayed, and there were people coming to be saved. And we were dealing with them. And y'all, we had a power failure. A transformer blew up, and the church was plunged into darkness. Just absolutely pitch black, just like that. And Flossie opened her eyes, and she thought she had gone blind. And she opened her eyes, and in the darkness I heard her voice say, what's happened here? Oh, Lord Jesus, what's happened here? And a lady stood up in the back of the church and said, somebody get that loon out of here. And I thought, well, it's probably my place to deal with the loon. So I thought, I'll take her out and calm her down. And when I reached down and got a hold of her, she thought the devil had her. And I drug her out the side door of the church, screaming to the top of her voice. But I've never forgotten that. What's happened here? It seems as though that's what Bathsheba's asking here. She goes to David. Somebody else is ruling. And she says to David, David, what's happened here? What's happened here? David, you made a commitment. David, you said this is who's to rule. David, you have sworn this is what's going to happen. What's happening here? Now, I wonder tonight if somebody may deep inside hear the Holy Spirit saying to you, what's happening here? The Holy Spirit looks at your life as you consider what's controlling your life. Who's controlling your life? What's controlling your life? Where does Jesus sit in your life? I wonder if the Holy Spirit may be saying to somebody, what's happening here? What's going on? Why is it like this? Why is it like this in your life? There's a commitment that was made. There's a conflict that had arisen. And there's a question that's asked. What's happening here? Third, there's a caution that is given. A caution that's given. Look at verse 20. Bathsheba says, the eyes of all Israel are on you, that you should tell them who will sit on the throne of the Lord the King after him. Said, David, the eyes of all Israel are on you. When my daddy died, my mama was 78 years old, and I was going to stay with her a few days after he died. The next day, after the funeral, she said, you can go home when you want to. And I said, you want me to go home? She said, no, stay as long as you want to. I got three things to do and I can't do them. Or got something to do and can't do it till you go home. And I said, what are you going to do? She said, I'm staying here three nights by myself. I said, really? She said, yep. Going to stay one night to prove to me I can do it. Two nights to prove to the neighbors I can do it. Staying three nights to prove to you children I can do it. Y'all always have been slower than the neighbors. So I said, well, I think I'll go on home. And so I did. It was about 6 months after that. We talked every week, visited when we could. About 6 months after that, I called Mama. We were talking. I said, Mama, anything going on? She said, Lord, yeah. I said, what's going on? She said, we've had us a peeping Tom. I said, a peeping Tom? She said, yeah. Had us a peeping Tom. Said, he's over at Clody Goggins looking right in at him. And I said, really? I said, Mother, are you scared? She said, Lord, no, son, I'm 78 years old. It'll be worse on him than it is on me. That wakes me up at night, you know? But did you hear what Bathsheba said? Bathsheba said to David, said, David, the eyes of all Israel are on you. Said, David, don't you understand that people are looking at you? And they are looking at you and they want to know who is going to rule and who is going to reign. They want to know who's going to sit on the throne. Now listen, do you realize tonight, Christian, that the eyes of somebody are on you? There are people looking at your life. They're looking at you. It may be your sons, it may be your daughters, it may be your wife, it may be your husband, it may be your friend, it may be your neighbor, it may be strangers, but people are looking at us to see who is going to rule, who is going to sit, who's going to rule, and who is going to reign in our life. And so she said, here's the caution, David. You need to understand, people are looking at you. So here was a commitment that's made. Here's who's going to reign. Here's the conflict. Somebody else was sitting on the throne. Here's the question, David, why is that going on? And here's the caution. Don't you understand that somebody is looking at your life? Last thing I want us to see is the conclusion that was reached. The conclusion that was reached. And we find that over down in verse 28 to 30. And he said, then King David answered and said, call Bathsheba. And she came into the presence of the king and stood before him. And the king took an oath and said, as the Lord lives, who is to redeem my life, just as I swore to you by the God of Israel, saying, Solomon shall be king after me, and he shall sit on my throne, I certainly will do this day. Did you hear the conclusion? You know, I told you this week about the old man at Geraldine that would always ask you the questions about two frogs. And I'm going to ask you that question. Two frogs sitting on a log, one decided to jump off. How many were left? How many? Why? Because to decide is not the same as jumping. You got to take action. And so here, David is touched in his heart. And David says, hey, I got to make this right. Hey, this isn't right. David said, that old commitment that I made back there is still real. Those old vows that I said are still real. And I'm going to do something about this. And I'm going to take action. And notice when he said he was going to take the action, says it right at the end of verse 30. And certainly I will do so when? This day. Right now. Now, that's the conclusion of the story of David. Because what happened? He put Adonijah off. He put Solomon on. And Solomon was great and wonderful king and built the temple. And David did more than just decide. David took action in his life. And that was his conclusion. It's written there. But let me tell you, my story and your story is still being written. The eyes of all Columbus, the eyes of New Hope, the eyes of this whole area are on you to see who is going to rule and who is going to reign in your life. Who's going to call the shots? What's going to call the shots in your life? Have you opened your heart to Jesus? Have you invited Him to come in? See, He can't sit on the throne until He is inside your heart. But listen, if you're saved tonight, let me ask you this. Is He enthroned as Lord? Is He ruling and reigning? Or do you have self sitting there? Or stuff sitting there? Or sin sitting there? It is time to realize that Jesus and Jesus alone is to rule in our hearts and in our lives. Folks are watching. Folks are waiting. Folks are wondering who's going to rule in our lives. Let's bow together in prayer. Just a moment, we're going to have our hymn of invitation. Maybe there's somebody here. You've never opened your heart to Jesus. You've never asked Him to save you and never asked Him to come into your life at all. And so your need tonight is to be saved. When we begin to sing, Brother Robert's going to be here. And if you've not given your life to Christ and tonight Jesus is knocking at your heart, would you come? Give yourself to Him. Invite Him to come in. But if you already know the Lord, let me ask you, imagine for a moment as your eyes are closed, imagine the throne room of your heart. You look at the throne, the control center. Who's ruling? Who's sitting there? Is Jesus seated as Lord of your life? If not, would you make a commitment anew and afresh right now? Would you just say to Him, Jesus, I want You to be absolute Lord of my life. Heavenly Father, we pray that during this invitation time, You'll speak to our hearts. That Heavenly Father, that the one who is not saved would be saved tonight. And Father, I pray that all of us, anew and afresh, would just cry out to Jesus, be seated on the throne of our life, so that when people look at us, they'll know He is Lord. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Robert.